Good morning, Hope Church. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise, will you? Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, is it not? I said, it's good to be in the house of God. We're so honored to have each and every one of you worship with the Lord with us today. And let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity once again to worship you, but also to receive from you. Lord, we haven't just come to praise you. We've also come to experience your presence, your truth, your word. You tell us that as we continue in your word, as we believe and continue in your word, that we shall know the truth and that truth will set us free. So Father God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus for a fresh revelation and truth to hit this house and those who are listening and a part of it. That revelation and truth would reign in every area of their life. That as a result, freedom would reign in every area of their life. So we decree and declare over their life right now, they're free from sickness, free from fear, free from torment, free from worry, free from anxiety, free from sickness, free from any and every tactic of the enemy. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing today in our lives. Speak to us in a clear way. And everybody said, come on, everybody shouted, amen. Say, speak to me, Lord. Open my heart. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Years ago, I was having a meeting with somebody, and it's amazing or interesting to me, and I've been in the same boat, where we can be in the church to a certain point that we say things and we don't always know what they mean. It's almost we have English, we have Spanish, and we also have Christianese. Our own language where we talk and say things in the church world, and if you ever had a chance, I encourage you when this happens, just stop and ask yourself why. And on this particular situation, I was having a meeting with somebody, and just to challenge their thought process. Sometimes I'll be an advocate. Sometimes I'll be on the flip side of the coin, even though I don't agree with it. I just want to see where they're at, if they can explain. One of the things is not just hearing the word, but getting an understanding, Matthew 13. It's the understanding of the word. You know you have understanding when you can not only explain it, but that brings you into a place of obtaining it. And so I begin to ask questions. And one simple question that maybe you've heard, and we say a lot in the church world, because when you get saved, you're born again. And the Bible uses that reference of being born again as a baby, as a child, and God wants us to grow, desiring the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And so as we begin to study the word of God, we begin to grow in the things of God. And we talk a lot about being spiritually mature. Have you ever heard this? You know what I mean? Jesus told us to make disciples, disciple people for maturity, spiritual maturity. And so we got into the conversation, and I put a pause on it and went back and just asked the simple question, why? I'll ask you rhetorically, why? We could all agree that we should and people should be spiritually mature, that when you get saved, you don't want to stop there. That's a starting point. You need to work out your own salvation. You need to grow in the things of God. You need to become a mature Christian in the image of Christ. Can I get an amen to that? All right, I got to work with you. All the people that are not in your 6 foot surrounded space that aren't here today, you have to speak for them and you. Can I get a better amen than that? Thank you very much. And so when we can all agree with, okay, I see, we should grow spiritually. It's important to be spiritually mature. As this person in our church was, who was a leader and one of our Bible teachers. And I just basically asked, let me ask you a question. Why? Oh, it's because it's good. Why? Because the Bible wants us to be spiritually mature. Why? If you found somebody who just got saved and had no idea of anything, and you look at them and say, now that you're saved, we need to get you on a path so you can grow spiritually. Why? That's a crazy question, is it not? And I kept on asking why, till finally they came to the point, because we're pulling the layers by layer back, because so many times we do stuff and we don't know why. What are we doing that for? I did a series years ago, and the whole series is about why. People tell you, go to church. Why? Give tithes and offerings. Why? Forgive other people. Why? Because some of us were raised in environments that you do what I tell you. Don't ask me any questions. Right? Or even better yet, don't do what I do. Do what I tell you, right? But it's okay to ask why. God wants you to ask why, because when you ask why, you can begin to have understanding on why. Grow spiritually, why? Let me read you a passage, and I'm not going to throw it on the screen because it really is a relatively long passage, so just chill out and listen. But Galatians, the NIV translation, Galatians 4 gives us a reason for this. He said, what I am saying is that as long as an heir, see, when you get saved, you're forgiven, you're a child of God, you're a son and daughter of God, you're an heir of God, right? Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know not only what is the hope of his calling, but was the inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power. Say, I'm an heir of God. See, an heir means that they have access to value and possessions without earning it. See, an heir doesn't work to get it. An heir inherits it based on the bloodline. Work with me today, and it's going to be a fun journey. An heir didn't have to work 1 hour to receive from the inheritance, because that's labor, that's wages. Inheritance is received. What I am saying is that as long as they are as long as the heir is underage, another word would be immature, he is or she is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. Let me read that again. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. So the heir owns everything, but is treated like he owns nothing. The heir has rights to make decisions, but when he's underage, has no rights to make any choices. The decisions are made for them. Why? Because they are underage, under maturity. The heir is subject to the guardians and the trustees until the time set by the father. So also when we are underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Stay with me. But I'm saved. Yeah, when you get saved, you're a baby Christian. Baby Christians struggle because in some areas, because baby Christians are still dominated like a natural baby. Everything goes into their mouth. They can't make choices. They don't do well. They have to grow. And it's okay to act like a baby when you're a baby. Need someone to spoon feed you. Have you watched? Oh, it always grosses me out. All you have to do is try some of that baby food and you'll wonder why and know why that baby is spitting that stuff out. When they spit it out and give you a funny face, that doesn't mean spoon it off my chin and put it back in. Right? That should be, they don't like it, let's find something better. All you have to do is try it. Oh, it doesn't taste good. A baby will spit it out. Oh, that's okay. They'll wipe it up, stick it back in. Someone's feeding them, changing their diaper. What a mess. The baby's always, it's all energy toward them. You don't look at the baby and say, go in the kitchen and get me something to drink. Go find the remote. You don't do that. Why? Babies aren't, they don't help. They only need help. And it's okay when you are a baby Christian to be in that state. You need constant attention. But when you grow up, it would be weird if you're 30 years old and your mother is spooning green beans off your chin and putting them back in. Can I get an agreement there? Can I get an amen? It'd be weird if they're changing your diaper and you're 25 years old, right? So why? Because we understand maturity. You could take care of yourself. Well, same way spiritual maturity. Spiritual babies, they make a mess. They want attention. It's me, me, me. And it's okay at a certain phase. But if you've been saved for 10 years, listen to me. If you've been saved for a while, one of the things we do different, and not every church is like this, one of the things that we do different, it is what it is. You like it, don't like it. If you don't like it, pray for me. It's okay. But I'm determined as a pastor not to have a church full of baby Christians. So my goal is not to connect you to me. I'm not your Jesus. Pastor, should I go on a vacation? I don't know if you should go on a vacation. Pray about it, right? That's why I tell people, challenge everything I say with the word of God, because I want you to develop that in your life so that regardless of who you're listening to in a church setting or on TV, you won't be easily deceived, though it might look good or sound good or be enticing to your senses. All of a sudden, something on the inside says, I need to check that out. And you'll have learned the skill set of challenging ideas with the word of God to the point that when you see something come down the road, you don't have to, just like a baby, take it in. See, a baby eats everything, regardless of what it is, good or bad or indifferent. But a person who's developed will say, I don't think I'm going to eat that. That sushi's been sitting at QT for 8 hours now. I think I'll pass on that. Come on, somebody. Some of you are like, it's good for breakfast, half off. Yeah, there's a reason they're selling that for free. I mean, if you came down and said, Pastor, there's 3 glasses of milk and I'm thirsty, can I have one? And I tell you, yeah, you can, but one of them has poison. I don't know which one it has, but you can. Most people will say, I'll pass. Because you've learned to discern and not to take opportunities that are dangerous for you. But a spiritual baby, do they just accept anything? Well, so-and-so said, did so-and-so give you scriptures to support that? Was that scripture sound? Did you read the verses around it? Did you study it? Did you find 2 or 3 witnesses to support that? Or did you take one scripture out of context? Because you have to understand that if you take one, you can almost prove anything if you take one obscure verse out of context. That's why the Bible says in Peter, let 2 or 3 witnesses, everything be established. What is the context of the word say? What is the whole of the word say? What is the theme of it? Because you could take one verse that Peter denied Christ and say, there you go. Peter wasn't a disciple of Jesus, but we understand that's a small piece of a big puzzle. And when you see the big puzzle, you understand he was a disciple. Can I get an amen? So when we're talking about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity enables you, empowers you to have access to what belongs to you through your inheritance. That means choices. That means authority. That means dominion. That means provision. That means, and Jesus even encouraged disciples, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can wait till you get to heaven to receive everything that belongs to you by inheritance. Praise God. See, for a Christian, we play by different rules. Because even if you do it wrong and you fail, you still win. Let me say that again. Even if your faith's not there for healing and you, God forbid, died early, you still win because you wake up in heaven never to deal with sickness again. It's a win. But you have the ability to build your faith, to exercise your dominion, and to walk in the health that God has for you. You can wait till you get to heaven and walk on streets of gold and see the abundance of God. Or you can begin to access it and bring it into your life now and allow it to be used to not only glorify God, but to see other people's needs met and reached, and you live a life that God's called you to live. But if your faith's not there at the other end, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. We're all growing. Say, I'm growing. And you got to understand that. Don't get under condemnation. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress. If you're growing, that's what you need to be doing. You need to be growing. You need to be growing. Well, I'm struggling in this area because there's many, have you noticed, many areas of life. We talk about finances and health because most people deal with financial or health situations. But you could be healthy and rich and still deal with depression. You could be dealing with your heart broken because of what happened to you in your past. You could be dealing, there's a thousand and one different things. But in every area, all areas, God has given you victory. But we have to walk this thing out. You have to grow. We have to say, I have to grow. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. If there's areas that come to your mind quickly, you say, does that mean I'm a bad person? Not at all. It means you're a real person. Welcome to the party called life. But I'm telling you, you have hope. What is hope? That is something that's available to you that you might not see today, but you can access it by faith because you are a child of God. Give me a shout of amen to that. So one verse that I want to look at today that's a key element in our growing in this area of dominion, because that's something we've been talking about through this series, that when Jesus is on the cross said, it is finished, he paid the price of sin. Sin brought people under humanity under the curse. And when he was resurrected by the demonstration of his power, that exercising of God's power is to be an example, Ephesians 1, what's available to you from God, that you can begin to live a life. And when you see the impossible, remind yourself, wait a minute, if he resurrected Jesus, what can he do for me in this situation? If he raised Jesus from the dead, what can he do for me in this situation? If you raise Jesus from the dead, that's what Ephesians says, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of your calling, what the riches of his inheritance, your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You have to ask yourself, someone being raised from the dead, is it bigger or smaller than what you're dealing with? And if it's bigger, then you can say, well, if he did that for Jesus, this is available to me because I believe. Come on, somebody. We can quote Matthew 18:18, that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And you can try it, but it did not work. And it's not because it's not available. It's not because it doesn't work. It's because maybe there's things in your maturity you have to grow into so that you understand that what you say and comes out of your mouth carries weight. As long as a baby Christian thinks they can say anything and it doesn't carry any weight, that shows you that there's a level of immaturity, because immature people will spout off and think they can throw a fit and say horrible things and walk away and have no consequences. But a mature Christian understands that the words coming out of their mouth have consequences because they carry power. Because when God says it, it happens. Isaiah 55:11. Think of the pattern of God. We're created in the image of God. We're created to have authority. You've got to be careful. Because when you operate in a kingdom mentality as a king and priest under your God, when a king says something, it becomes law. As long as we have the mentality, I can say whatever, it don't make a difference, then you need to grow still some more, and we all need to grow, my friend. But there's a place of dominion. What are some key elements for this? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is a very common verse. Many of you have read it. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first, the King James translation, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those, and all these things. What are these things? These things that the world wants. Stop for a minute, pause. The things that the world tries to get. The world, the things that the world spends their life and energy and everything to get. Jesus said, your father knows you already have need of these things. But the world goes after the things. Jesus said, let me show you something different. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. To the place that if you look, it says that you don't have to take, look at this. Next verse, take therefore no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient, that doesn't mean that you go without and say, well, I'll deal with tomorrow's problems tomorrow. Notice, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's already taken care of. And if there's evil, you have victory. Say, I have victory. Say, I have victory. Say, I have victory. Let me draw a few things out of this. But seek first. Notice number one, seek. Say, seek. That means to pursue something. Listen to me, child of God. I'm not telling you you have to do this, but let me give you some inside track information that in my own life I've learned. When you seek God, if you seek Him casually, you'll find nothing. God does not respond to casual pursuit. God does not respond. See, James says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But it's from with a heart that's hungry and thirsty. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you pursue God casually, if you pursue God as like He's the last option, if you pursue God, I'm not saying be weird. Jesus is not weird. Jesus doesn't make you weird. People that are weird in the church were weird before they got saved. And Jesus is working that out of them. I'm telling you, if you serve God and keep Him number one, it doesn't mean you act weird. But if you pursue Him casually, oh, I'll get to Him whenever. He's not a priority to me. Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. If you want to test the waters, because Malachi talks about test and see and know that the Lord is good. If you want to test, taste and see and know that He's good, test Him. One translation says, put Him to the test. If you want to taste and experience, see if God's good, begin to pursue Him, not with a easy, laid back, casual. Get so hungry for the things of God that you begin to make it a priority. Seek God with all your heart. But Pastor, I have to be honest, I really like that, but I just don't feel that. Then Philippians says that you need to pray because God is wanting to give you the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. He'll give you not only the power to do it, He'll give you the desire to do it. I mean, you're like, I know I need to pray, but I just can't pray. I'm trying to be disciplined. Don't be disciplined in prayer. You need to say, Lord, give me the desire and the ability to pursue You through prayer. Give me that anointing that causes me to want to pray and the ability to spend time in prayer. Blow my mind, Jesus, with the desire and ability to do what You've called me to do. David said, teach me to do Your will. We're trying to discipline the things of God in our life. And praise God for discipline. But you got to get to the place of saying, Lord, it's got to be beyond discipline. Because some people have disciplined God out of their routine. God, give me the desire and the ability. I ask You, work in me. Give me the desire and the ability to love people. Give me the desire and ability to spend time in Your word. And when you feel it start getting lull, which is a rhythm of life, you could sit there and say, well, I guess it's not forever. I'll just go back to my routine. Or you could say, no, Lord, I'm feeling my temperature and my spirit's changing. Lord, give me that desire. Anoint me again to read Your word. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening? You can be passive about it, or you can have a pursuit that is hungry for the things of God, and you realize that you need Him to pursue Him. You need Him to love Him. Do you love God? Oh, I love God. Well, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which means you need Him just to love Him. You need Him to know Him. You need Him to praise Him. You need Him to serve Him. Think of the coolness of this. God just doesn't say, here's the step that you got to step. He says, here's the step. Now ask me and I'll empower you and give you victory to jump through it and jump on it and have victory over it. Ask me and I'll give you the nations. What is He saying? It's not just doing it. It's realizing, recognizing that I need Him. I'm making Him the priority. Not the prayer, not the word, not the worship. Praise God for them. They're vehicles to take you to Him. But I need Him to get me into the process so I can experience Him. We need it. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's the author of your faith and the finisher of your faith. If I just had more faith, ask God, give me a desire to get into Your word so that I can get revelation, because Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You got to pray, Holy Spirit, open this word to me as I study it today. Let me be receptive. Because then you realize everything that God brings you to the place of victory in life, you realize that it was Him. He gave you the desire. He gave you the ability. He demonstrated His power. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first. Joshua 1, he told Joshua, I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses. Don't have to be afraid. I'm going to be with you. No one's going to be able to stand against you, when translation says. As I was with Moses, I'm with you. Only be strong and courageous. How do I do that? Get the word in your heart, in your mouth. Speak it. Why? Because you have to hear the word besides just reading it. Get it in your heart, get it in your mouth, and then you will observe to do. That means you will have a vision to do. You will see what you need to do, just not by the natural eyes, but the vision, the discernment that comes from revelation. The discernment that comes from revelation. The discernment that comes from revelation. Because if you do everything or anything and don't have a revelation on it, you are doing your thing and not God's thing. I want you in dominion. So when you speak, when you resist, the Bible says, doesn't the Bible say resist the devil and he will flee from you? But if you read the verse, the conditional verse before, it says submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then resist the devil. Why? Because when you're submitted to God, you are in a position of authority. When you are connected to Christ, Ephesians 1, that you are at the right hand of the Father. You are seated with him in heavenly places. That's a position of authority. Well, I'm just going to do what, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want. If I need anything or run a problem, I'll just pray and ask God to fix it. And you can't figure out why your prayers aren't answered and you deal with the same problems and you cycle the same mountain and you have to come to the place that it's no longer you that lives, but it is Christ who lives in you and you live by faith in the Son of God. What am I saying? It's not about you. He's not only your Savior, he's your Lord. If you want him working in your behalf, then it's abiding in him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask. Most people don't worry about spending any time in seeking God and getting to know him through his word. They just know their problem really, 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 really well. But they don't know much about their God that they call Father. And yet we can boldly enter his throne room by the blood of Jesus. Seek first. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom. That just doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to do things that helps the kingdom of God. You have to understand the kingdom represents what the king lords over. I like to say his policies and procedures. How does he want things done? All right? How does he want things done? The church, we can be interesting where we do what we want to do and tag the name of Jesus to the end of it and then try it, and when it fails terribly, stay with me, church, and when it fails terribly, we'll back up, reevaluate it, re-engineer it, and define it. That's what really God showed me anyway, you know, that's, and we'll spiritualize it. Well, here's what I think God was trying to tell me. God wasn't trying to tell you that at all. David had an army against him and approached God, and God said, go, I'll give you victory. Then he went out and fought and had victory. Shortly after, the same army rose up against him again, and he went out to fight, this time not asking God, and failed miserably. And he went back to God and said, God, what happened? God said, you didn't ask me the second time. Why? Because we have a tendency to put our confidence in methods. Well, you know what? We were singing that song of the anointing hit, so I'm going to make sure we sing that song every time. And it may or it may not work, because it's not just the song. It's the anointing that came on that song. Seek first the kingdom. How does the king want things done? Policies and procedures. You don't leave one job after you've been there 20 years and take the policies and procedures into another job. You have to find in the new job what is the way of operating. What does the CEO and the CFO and the CEO, what do they want done? What is the manager want done? How do things operate? Well, I'm going to be over your house Saturday. Why are you coming over to my house? Well, before, where I worked at a small business, I'd always hang out with the owner on Saturdays. Well, that's not happening here. I'm the CEO of Coca-Cola. You're not coming to my house. You're not going to know where the house is at. And if you come near, they're probably going to arrest you. It's a different policies and procedures. Where have you been for 2 weeks? Oh, my last boss would let me take off when I wanted, and I'd come in late, and I would just let him know, and it's all good. That might have been good there. It doesn't work here. Most Christians never find out what here works. They just take what was working there and they bring it into here, and they struggle with here, and they blame God and say he doesn't answer prayer anymore. Because the problem is not the prayer. The problem is you're not doing it the way the King wants you to do it. I'll give you an example. There, emotion moves people. Here, faith moves the mountain. And it's okay to cry when you pray, but if your prayer here is trying to manipulate God with emotions from there, you don't get your prayer answered. And you can cry until your eyes are swollen shut for 3 days and wonder, God doesn't love me because he didn't answer me. No, you're trying to manipulate God with emotion. God's not moved by emotion, because here it's not about emotion. In the kingdom, it's about faith. There, I just did my thing. Here, you're in a kingdom. Are you listening to me? Here, you don't have a thing. Leave your thing outside the door, because your thing doesn't belong here. You're in a kingdom. Do you see me? Now, to make you feel better, I want you to say, I don't have a thing here. Pastor, what do you want? It doesn't matter what pastor wants. My job is not to do what pastor wants. My job is to find the assignment from heaven and implement that into here. Because here in the kingdom, it's not about us being important people of titles to make people serve us. Here in the kingdom, we all serve because we all serve Jesus. That's why if people are like, oh, you know what, you asked this and they didn't do it. Well, that's between them and Jesus, because it's not my assignment. They're not against me, right? Isn't that what Jesus told disciples? That if you go preach the gospel and if they don't receive it, shake your feet, the dust off your feet, take your peace and keep moving. Why? Because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. Now, when you get offended, it's because somehow in the mix, you thought it was you. Because you forgot to leave you outside the door. You forgot to leave your thing outside your door. You forgot to leave your plans outside your door. Well, pastor, this is my gift and this is my plans, and I'm excited that I could be a part of this ministry and help. Listen, leave your plans outside the door. Does that mean God can't use you? Absolutely, God can use you. And God, you can see that gift and that anointing and that calling grow in the things of God. But most people don't come in to be part of the kingdom. They come in trying to get the kingdom to make them popular. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rays of sunshine. Rays of sun. I'm not feeling it, Pastor. I need rays of sunshine. But seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom. See, that's a tough word for a lot of people, but realizing that even the centurion soldier said, I am a man under authority and a man over authority, and I say to some, go, and they go, and others come, and come. Just speak the word only. He was saying that I understand kingdom. And I understand that on this earth, you reign in this area. Because kingdom is where the king rules. It's the reign of the king. It's the rule of the king. It's the order of the king. It's the order of God. It's the order. He was saying, I know that you have such authority that you reign here that you don't have to even show up. Speak the word only. And Jesus said, well, I haven't seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Why? Because he understood kingdom, and kingdom is not abusive. Some of us have come out of churches and people throw that kingdom mentality around and they'll say, you better do what I say, because if you don't do what I say, then you're disobeying God and bad curse. And they'll curse people. That's not kingdom. That's witchcraft. Right? If God doesn't force you to do stuff, why do you think God would put people in your life to force you? It's not my job to force you. It's my job to put food at the table. You choose. If you don't want to do it, that's between you and Jesus. Have you noticed that is an ingrained characteristic of this ministry? We don't make people give their tithes and offerings. Because I want more than the money in your pocket. I want you to live in the blessing of God. And you don't get the blessing of God by doing it. Well, that's got quiet. Now listen to this. You don't get the blessing by doing it. You get the blessing by believing and doing. You could do the outside doing, but if there's no heart revelation of believing, then everything you do is exhausting. You need to make everybody pray a certain amount. If I made everybody pray, some will do it, some won't, and they'll lie about it, and then that makes a problem. And then you don't even know who really wants to pray. Because you can't tell who you should put spiritual weight on their shoulders, because all you can see is the outside. Wow, look at them pray. But inside, they're not really doing it out of their heart. And God, if you think that's not important, God told Israel, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Okay, moving right along. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all these things, and his righteousness. The kingdom, I like to think of it this way. The kingdom is the principles, the policies and procedures, the order of how the king operates. His righteousness is what he wants done in that situation. This is where it can get a little wacky. Because if you learn the principles, you can operate the principles without Jesus. People do it all the time. They stop serving him, but they're still operating by certain principles that work. Businesses do it. They found principles in the Word of God. They won't acknowledge that. Some of them don't realize it. But they'll do it without God. So when you understand the tools of the trade, if you will, and you're going to build a house, the righteousness is what's on the blueprints for today. Are you doing your plans with God's tools, or are you doing God's plan with God's tools? Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. I've come to do the will of the Father. Think about this. This is not getting weird. Don't stand in a line at a drive-thru and wait and pray and look for God to tell you if you should get an extra large Diet Dr. Pepper or a medium Diet Dr. Pepper. That's where people get weird. Wait a minute, I need to pray. And they get weird. Thank you. But Matthew chapter 7 says this, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Shall enter where? The kingdom of heaven. Most people think of the kingdom of heaven as heaven, or the kingdom of God as heaven. And that is partly true. But the kingdom of God is the rule of God. For Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't show up with outside demonstrations where you can say the kingdom of God is here or the kingdom of God is there. Jesus said, but the kingdom of God is within you. Some translations try to water it down and say the kingdom of God is around you, referring to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't operating, flowing with the kingdom of God. But when Jesus is saying, many will come to me in that day and shall say, Lord, Lord, that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Just because they're shouting. And actually, he didn't say, Lord, Lord. He didn't talk King's English. He didn't talk English. But in context, they repeated the word Lord there as a point of emphasis. So they would be saying in English, Lord. Not just Lord, Lord, but Lord, emphatically with emphasis. Lord, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people are Christians, but they don't operate in the kingdom. They're still under the elements of life, elements of spiritual forces. They're battered around, beat, knocked around, and tossed by every wind of doctrine. They have no strength within themselves. They have no maturity. They're easily dismissed by the enemy. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but notice, he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is he saying? Hey, if you do my will, if you do the will of the Father, accessing the obedience, the will of the Father, access the kingdom of heaven. That's where your authority is. That's where your provision is. That's where your power is. Not doing your thing and tagging Jesus to your. Well, here's my plan for the day, God. Bless it in Jesus' name. Why don't you wake up and say, Lord, let me be a part of your plan today. Let me be a part of what you're doing today, Lord. Show me, just direct and guide my steps. For the steps of the just, the righteous, or decisions of the righteous, are ordered of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Notice this. And in your name cast out devils. That sounds pretty powerful. And in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. One translation says it this way. I will tell them, depart from me, you who did unauthorized works. You did something by the tools of the kingdom, but you didn't follow the plan of the kingdom. You did something by the tools of the kingdom, but you didn't follow the plan of the kingdom. The plan of the kingdom is the will of the Father. That's when you come. That's when you come to the place of life, even in the natural, and you know God says, forgive him. He said, I don't want to forgive him. You die to yourself so you can follow him, because the strength and victory comes from your obedience of what he's revealing to you from his word. Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Freedom comes from knowing. Knowing comes from pursuing and believing. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You who did unauthorized works. So how do we close up with this? To enter the kingdom, we need to get back to make sure we pursue him. Seek first. Again, Jesus said, continue in my word and you shall know the truth. Joshua 1 talks about meditating on the word day and night. Spend time. You said, but I don't know if I have a desire. Then pray and ask God to give you that desire, Philippians tells us. Lord, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I need you to help me. Just be real with Jesus. He knows anyway. He knows anyway. He knows anyway. You might as well be honest. Might as well be real and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you. And finally he says, I'm glad you've come to that revelation. Now I'm here to help you. I'm here to empower you. I'm here to make you alive. I'm here to give you power that's beyond your understanding. I'm here to give you access to an inheritance that you have not even seen. Doesn't the Bible say that eye has not seen? Ear has not heard. Talk to me, church. Neither has entered the heart of man. The things. See, the world's going after the things, but God has, he's not trying to bring them to you. They're already available to you. The things that he has already prepared for you. But it doesn't stop there. He doesn't leave us in darkness. He doesn't leave us in ignorance. He goes on to say, but are revealed to us by his Spirit. Pursue Jesus, pursue his word, and let the Holy Spirit reveal that word to you. And as you simply obey, that's where you're beginning to access the kingdom authority. For you didn't come representing yourself. Ooh, my gosh. Do you realize the centurion soldier, I'm trying to close here, the centurion soldier that we gave the illustration about, I'm a man under authority, a man. Do you realize that in one of the Gospels, it doesn't refer to the soldier being there at all? It was one of his servants. But why would it say he was a soldier in the other one? Because in that culture, if you represented them, it was as if you were there. So the servant wasn't saying his thoughts. The servant was saying his master's thoughts. He knew how he would think. He knew how he would respond. He knew what he would say. And so when Jesus began to speak, he knew how to respond, not in his place, but in the place of the one he worked for. And that only comes from spending time with somebody. I'd spent so much time with my dad, who's now in heaven. He was my father, he was my boss, and he was my pastor. What a great combination. And later in life, he became actually a friend. But I'd spent so much time working for him that my goal was to be his right-hand person, that I got to the place that I knew how he would think on certain situations. I knew what he would want. And there's times we disagreed. And when those times are disagreed, I would say, here's my opinion. And sometimes you say, okay, let's do that or try it. But many times, if you knew my dad, many times you say, well, I appreciate that stuff, but that's not what I want. This is what I want to do. And my response would be, yes, sir, I'll make it happen. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't to get my will done, it was to do his will. But I only knew that because I'd spent enough time with him. See, that those who know their God shall be strong. Why? Because you know him well enough that when you speak, you're not speaking what you want. You're speaking what he is saying. See, you got to see how this all intertwines. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. But see, by the time you get to the process of abiding in him and him abide, his words abiding in you, your will has already lined up with his will. So when you say your will, you'll think it's your will, but your will is already lined up with the will of God. And so what you're saying is not your words, but his words. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. And when you understand that, when you walk in, the devil doesn't see you. You might be 5'2" and no power or authority in the natural. But if you are a child of God and understand the kingdom of God, when you walk in, the demons tremble because they don't see you. You are an ambassador and they understand kingdom authority. And when you walk in, you represent the God that you serve. They see Jesus. Did you hear me? They see Jesus. They see the light. They can't, their eyes are burning. They've been in darkness and they see light. Because it's not you anymore. It's him. When you're in the kingdom, it's all about him. And when it's all about him, listen to me, church, you win. You win. 1 Corinthians 15:57, 2 Corinthians 2:14, you win. 1 John 4:14, you win. You win. Say, I win. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, 1 John 5:14. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Thanks be to God, which always causes you to triumph through Christ Jesus. You win. See, this is not, it might look like, oh, I'm taking a short on the stick. No, you're taking the, you get the best. You were taking, you, it, the devil will tell you, ah, oh, you're not happy. No, you are happier than those out there in the world. You have a peace that exceeds understanding. You have a joy that gives you strength. You are the head and not the tail. You have authority. When you resist the devil, he flees. You're not anxious about anything. Why? Because you are part of God's kingdom, part of his family. You are a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm a child of God. And I win. Give the Lord a loudest hand clap of praise if you would. If you'd be so gracious, bow your head and close your eyes. No one looking around, no one moving around. I want to take a few minutes. For those who are watching or listening, if you do not know Jesus in a real and personal way, this is not about religion. I'm not into that. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people are tied up in religion and they know the things they can't do or should do and they have no essence of a relationship with Jesus. Everything flows out of that relationship, not to get that relationship. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'm going to pray a prayer. Romans tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A simple prayer, like opening up a door, Revelation 3, as Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. A simple short prayer can make an eternal difference. Why? Because salvation is one of the greatest miracles. If you, and the way you process, the way you experience, and the way you understand, if you say, Pastor, I know about God, but I don't know the Lord, I don't know Jesus in a real and personal way, this is your moment. This is your miracle moment. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. See, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in. as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.